This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. We'll do good morning. I think it works better, huh? Let's do that on a count of three. And if you're online, if you can just type in good morning, that'd be great. So on a count of three, let's go good morning. Ready? One, two, three. Good morning. Oh, wow. It echoes. That's awesome. It's good to see you guys. Good to have you here. There's an interesting thing in Scripture. The original languages of Scripture are Hebrew and Greek. And in both languages, the word for spirit, the word for breath, and the word for wind is the same. And what I wanted to do is maybe introduce this. I don't know how you feel, but for me, I'm beginning to feel like a little bit of breath, a little bit of life, a little bit of a breeze is blowing in our world where, you know, we spent a few years, not just the pandemic, but all the stuff we've been dealing with. It's kind of felt like just difficulty, a lot of people dealing with isolation, all kinds of stuff. And it just feels like some walls are being broken down, some new life is coming. So I'm going to ask you to do something today with this idea of wind and breath and spirit. Is this, let's just take a deep breath together and just soak it on in. You guys ready? Big breath. Take it in and just let it out. And let God just start some stuff in our lives. When I was growing up, I did a lot of sailing, and there'd be certain days where there would be just becalmed. You would go out in the boat, and the sail would just sit there and not move, and the boat would just sit there. And you're going, okay, this is no fun. And then you would feel a breeze, and you would start to feel it usually on the back of your neck, if you know what I'm talking about, or on your arms. And just a little bit of a breath of air, and then you knew that the wind was coming, and the sail would start to move, and you start to move yourself in the boat. And I feel, again, that's what God is doing in our life, just a little bit of breath. And so we are taking these 40 days leading up to Easter, and we are just saying, God, breathe new life into all of us. As a church, as individuals, for people that have gone through some really tough times, God, we just want new life, new hope, new direction. So that's what we're breathing for. So I know we pray, but I just want to pray over that today. And if you're here today and you just need new life, a new direction, you need something for God to do something in your life, just kind of open your heart up to say, God, I want you to work in me, okay? So whatever it may be, or someone I love. So let's just pray together. Father God, during these 40 days leading up to Easter, we pray for resurgence, new life, new direction, new hope, new breath in us. And we just pray over this group of people here today. I don't know what they're going through, Father, but you do. So speak to our hearts. Speak to us just like we heard you. Speak to us through the worship time and just speak through your word. And may we hear your voice and may we see a difference because of who you are. And Father, during this crucial time in our world, we pray for the churches in Ukraine and the churches in Russia, and all the countries that are affected. We know there's people worshiping you today. And we just lift them up, Father. I pray for your protection, your peace, your presence in their lives as well. And we pray for the countries around the world that are not experiencing peace. And we pray for them. And we thank you for being here. We thank you for being all over the world at the same time. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's good to have you here. One of the things we're going to do is if you want to follow along in the service today, we do this quite a bit. There's a QR code. You just take your camera in your phone and go ahead and do that. Get that ready. That's our announcements are in there. There's an outline to follow along with the message. You can go to the church app and do the same thing. If you have your Bibles, you're going to be looking at different verses. So it's a good way to get caught up in what's going on. And we have a few announcements we want to do as well, but you can see them all there if you go ahead and do the QR code. In these next 40 days, we have a lot of things happening. One thing I forgot to mention last service is this Saturday, we're doing a prayer walk here in the community. We're going to meet here at 9. We're going to join with some other churches and pray over our community, the 27106 area code. And we're just going to go to the houses and pray in front of them. And then we're going to leave a flyer about an event that's coming up. Not to invite them to, but invite them to join into. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. So this Saturday, 9 o'clock here in the church parking lot, love to have you come in, and we're going to do a prayer walk. In a couple of weeks, we have an event that we've never done before. It's our first annual meeting. How about that? So in 2 weeks from this Sunday, we're going to do it 10:15, 10:45 between services. So we're asking you to come a little bit early for that, just talking about the vision for the next year coming up. What's going on? We look at April 1 through March 31st as kind of our year. So we'd love to have you come in, time for questions and all that. So it's 2 weeks from today. We'll send in some more stuff about that. And then if you're new today, every first Sunday of the month, we're going to do a thing where you can meet the staff of the church, ask any questions you want to ask anything you want to know about who we are, or our personal stories, about the story of the church. So that's the day. We give about 5 minutes so we can talk to people and kind of get everything ready. And then we're going to meet in the student room. So if you've been here for a while or just a little bit, you take about five and then come. We realize we don't tell you what time is, like, it's going to come in all during the morning. So 5 o'clock, 5 minutes after the service, join us in the student room. If you're not sure where that is, you just go out the door, work your way down the corridor, and look for one of us, and we'll direct you there, okay? We'll get you there. Today we're starting a new series, and I'm excited about this series. It's a shorter one, and we're calling it The Quest, A Faith Journey to Financial Freedom, based on a book by a guy named Darren Key, on financial freedom. And we're going to be talking about finances and really about what does it mean to be on a quest. Darren is a guy who's president of Christian Financial Resources. It's the group that we have our loan through. He sent us these books, and we thought this is really helpful. So if today, if this is something you want to get deeper into, or anything that you want to know about how to do finances a way that honors God, and we're going to talk about that today, there's a couple of books you can pick up at the children's check-in right around the corner. And you can go a little bit deeper in that if it's something that interests you. But we're talking about a quest, okay? So I just want to kind of get started with definitions and what is a quest and what are we talking about? Because I think probably all of us in the room are on a quest. You just maybe don't know it. So here's what a quest is. It's by definition. It's an arduous search for something considered to be important or valuable. Okay, so you're seeking something, you're trying to find something, and you're maybe on a whole lifetime quest, or you're on different quests, but I think everybody loves quests, because I'll tell you why. The top three movies of all time, and one favorite that's a lot of family favorites, are all based on quests, okay? And we don't know why we spend our billions of dollars on these movies, but the reason is because we're interested in quests. So number one movie, there's some debate about this money-wise. You guys know it, right? Any Marvel fans in here? What is it? It is... No, I can't guess Lord of the Rings. And it's not Star Wars. People in first service kept guessing Star Wars everything. No, it's not. It is the movie Endgame. You put that with Infinity War? Any Marvel fans? You're going, oh, yeah, I knew that already. But what's it about? Those who have seen it, what's the quest for? What are they trying to find? It sounds stupid, but it's a Infinity Stones. They're trying to find these stones, right? And so the first one's about looking for the stones. The second one's about trying to get them back and put them back where they went. So I've just ruined the movie for you. But it's like you're spending 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours trying to find these stones and then return them so the world can be saved, all right? Number two movie it replaced. Anybody know? James Cameron. Avatar. There we go. There you go. We got some film people in here. What's the whole thing about Avatar? It's a quest. You think it's this quest for this floating rock. I know it sounds silly, but if you like the movie, looking at this floating rock, right? That's not really what the story is about. It's a quest between, or trying to help find peace between races, right? And just getting along, be able to do what you want without being oppressed. That's what the movie's about. It's also a love story, okay? And it's all CGI, all right? What's the third most important one? Replace another James Cameron movie. Titanic. There you go. Some other movies. Like, these people all watch movies over here. You guys, we're going to get to you guys over here in a minute. We didn't know we were divided that way. Titanic, it starts off with a quest for the stone. Do you guys even remember this? I mean, you guys thought it was a Leonardo DiCaprio movie, right? But as these guys are looking for this stone that was in the safe, it was the angel of the ocean, kind of this big gem, and it's not in the safe when they finally find it. And then you find out it's really about a love story, right? And the lady, I'm ruining it for you, the lady had the stone all the time. And you didn't know it, and then she drops it in the ocean. You guys know, did you even watch the film? All right, it's so old now, right? But it's a quest for it, okay? All right, number one family film for generation after generation is a quest story. The Wizard of Oz. And what is Dorothy questing for? She wants to go. You guys have all seen this one, so we know. She meets people on the road, right? And her plan to get there is what? Follow the... So you guys all know what I'm talking about, quest, right? Now, that's for the movie people. Let's talk sports, right? There's sports people. You guys, basketball fans in here. We're about to start what? March Madness. March Madness. And the whole idea of March Madness is a quest for what? National championship, which we'll talk about in a few weeks who's going to win. We won't know. But everybody right now is available, right? They haven't picked. But they're going to do that. They're on this quest. They want to get their number one team. And they're all practicing, all preparing. They all have a plan to get there. Now, I'm a Braves fan, so I have to put this in. World Series. The whole point of that is we're on a quest to be number one, and the Braves won this year. So there's my point about them, right? They put all this time and all this energy, all this planning, all this trading, all this stuff to get prepared to win the national championship or the World Series. Football, LA Rams. I mean, you name it. And then everybody in here is on a quest of some kind, if you think about it. Abraham, we read about last few weeks, he was on a quest to follow God's will and to get where God wanted him to be and settle in this land and start a family. You are here on this earth, and you're probably on a quest, and this is what you're looking for, probably. You're looking for happiness. You want to be happy. You want your family to be happy. You maybe have a dream that you're following. I want to do this with my life. For some, it's like a job that you want to do, and you want to head in a certain direction. For some people, I want to get my yard a certain way. That's your quest. Like, this year, my yard's going to be beautiful. I'm going to get that thing in my yard that says the most beautiful yard in the neighborhood. That's your quest, right? For some of you, it's a quest for just making the perfect meal, and you're working on that, and you do this every night, right? The perfect meal, and you're going to get your family together for a vacation. Whatever it is, but you're on a quest, and you're looking for something, right? Everybody is looking for something. In this series, we're going to talk about something that probably everybody in the room is looking for. Whether you could articulate or not in the way I'm going to do, it doesn't matter. We're going to talk about financial freedom. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, and we know not everybody is, but if you're a follower of Jesus, here's what you're thinking. God has a plan for me, and in order for me to fulfill the plan that God has for me, I'm going to need certain resources to do it, right? I need a home. We need a place to live, and everybody here needs a place to live. That takes resources. It takes finances, right? You need a car. You need to wear clothes, right? Clothes are important. You're going to need all these things that takes resources, and we're going, okay, God, if you have a plan, then how am I going to get there? And I want to do it in a way that honors you. Now, if you're not a Jesus follower, you're probably still thinking, I want financial freedom, because the opposite of that is what? Financial bondage. It's staying up at night, worrying. It's getting that check, that bill in the mail, and you're going, how am I going to pay for this? It's getting that notice from the plumber that it's going to cost a lot more than you thought it was going to cost. It's that red light that comes on the dashboard of your car when everything was fine and suddenly this is not good, or that flat tire you got to take care of, or it's the HVAC system that doesn't work anymore. You know, there's all these different things that you had some peace and then you don't. So whether you're a Christ follower or not, we're all looking for the same thing, financial freedom, in the sense of I don't want to be worried about, I don't want to be bothered with like thinking about this all the time. I just want to be able to do what God wants me to do, and do it in a way that's pleasing to him. Now, Forbes did a study a few years ago, and this is what they said. It was in 2019. They said about 30% of the nation feels like they're financially healthy. Only 30%. That means 70% don't feel financially healthy. Now, in the room, you guys are above average, right? You're doing probably better than they are. But just think about that. Maybe one-third. You're feeling good about this topic, you know, I'm in a good spot. Two-thirds are going, I need to hear this because I need to get out. And I'm praying that God does something different in my life. And I need a way to do something right and get along with this. And so we're going to be talking about that, because the Bible has over 2,000 verses that talk about how to have financial freedom. Either deal with materialism or debt or saving or your heart involving money. And so we're going to look at God's plan, because in order to get where you want to go, you got to have a plan. One of my favorite verses, which has nothing to do with money, has everything to do with our life, though, is Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. And this is a verse, I think, for all of us. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. And when it talks about steps, that's just a metaphor, right? The steps are the individual things you do in your life, day by day, step by step through life. And he says he directs the steps of the godly. I mean, he helps you go in the direction he wants you to go. And he delights in every detail of their lives. I will tell you, I don't know if God cares about Marvel movies. I don't know if he sat down and watched Endgame or Infinity War. Probably not. Let's just say he doesn't really care about those things. Does he care about March Madness? I don't know. It'd be an interesting thing. God, did you really care who won? I mean, he cares about the individuals, right? But what does God care about? He cares about you. And he delights in every detail of your life. We won't ask you to confess what it is, but are you obsessed with something like a hobby or with a movie or with a sport where you know all the details, you know all the stats, you know how all the ingredients of the perfect meal? I mean, we get kind of caught up in the details, right? God is caught up in the details of you. Everything about your life, he's interested in, including how you spend his resources and where his resources are going to impact your life. He says, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. That's a really comforting verse to me for those of us that may be facing financial issues. And there are people in here that are facing financial issues, some by decisions we made and some by things that happened to us. Don't raise your hand, but how many guys, you can like blink at me or something. How many guys have ever made a decision financially that you regretted? Right, yeah, you're all blinking. You had to blink, right? I kind of threw that out there because I knew you probably had. But how many guys like in the last week made a decision like, I wish I hadn't have spent that money, you know? A lot of us do. We regret. But sometimes things happen where we kind of feel like we failed or down or we stumbled. And the thing is, God holds us by the hand. He's able to pick us back up. And that's what we want this series about, is how do we go about doing that? How do we go about doing it God's way? And can we really trust God? Because this isn't really about finances. This is really about seeing God at work. You know, in our life, I think we're all over the place in this. And I think there's probably three types of people in the room. Maybe you fit in one of these categories. One is you've fallen in some aspect in your life financially, and you're trying to get out of it. You're sitting here today, there's debt that you don't know how you're going to pay, or something's happened that is in front of you, like retirement, and you're not caught up to where you want to be, and so you've kind of in that situation where you need a way out, and you're just asking God, show me the way out. There's probably a good number of us in that situation. There's a group of you here, you're just starting out, and finances are not really what you deal with, what your mom and dad deals with, or somebody else deals with, and so you're kind of in that spot where you're going, I just want to know. I don't want to make mistakes. I want to know what's right. I want to get there. So maybe you're there. And then there's a third group that's probably in the room right now that you're kind of going, okay, I want to finish well. And how do you finish well? Like you're at a point in your life going, I just want to be able to take care of my family, take care of everything, and do it in a right way that honors God. And we're going to address all three of you over the next 3 or 4 weeks, okay? So I hope that you're in one of those categories because there's hope in what God has. Now today, we're just going to start the journey, and so if you have your outline, if you have your message notes, if you have the app, you want to open this. We're just going to talk about some real basic things to get this journey started, some things that you need to know, and they're kind of basic things, but if you get the basic things right, then the rest will be right. So three things, kind of three truths on this journey to financial freedom. They're on your outline. Number one is really simple. It's this. Everything belongs to God, and that's where we're going to start. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is something we understand, that everything belongs to God. We get that from Psalm 24, verse 1. In other parts of the Bible, it says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it belongs to God. The world and all its people belong to him. That means everyone here belongs to God, everyone throughout the world belongs to God, and everything we see belongs to God. This building belongs to God. Your home belongs to God. We may have manipulated stuff that God has given us, but he created it all. It all belongs to him. And so we are simply looking at everything going, God, this all is yours. You put it here. It's yours, God. And that's where we start, because there's a big difference between saying that and saying it all belongs to me. When we look at films, again, I love films, and there's a series of films that we grew up with our kids, our boys, okay? Some of you watched it and you grew up with it. Some of you are visiting now and going back and looking. Some of you are like me, either your kids or your grandkids watched it, and it's the Toy Story Saga. You know what I'm talking about? Have you guys seen that? We're dealing with a lot of movies today. Toy Story Saga, it started like in the 90s, and now it just ended, and our son is here today, but it was really interesting a couple of years ago. The last one, the fourth one, they showed at his college, so we went, and it was shown on this big building. They shot it up there, and we sat out on the grass, and we were looking at this film, and I will admit, after watching that little tear in my eye, because like this is the end of Toy Story, and we watched him grow up, watched our boys grow up with this, but there's a reoccurring theme in this movie. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. On the bottom of Woody's shoe or his boot, not inside, because there's a snake in his boot, right? But on the bottom of his boot, there's a word. What's the word? Andy. And why Andy? Because Woody is a toy that belongs to Andy. His name is on it, right? So throughout the film saga, the Toy Story saga, it's simply this identity thing that those two are connected. Andy has Woody. Woody belongs to Andy. And it's this great story, right? The thing is with God, we have the name of God inscribed on us, and God has on his hands our names are inscribed in. Scripture tells us that we belong to him and everything belongs to God. And this resonates with us, right? We are not owners. We are simply managers is what the Bible tells us. We just manage what he has. Now, the world will tell us that everything belongs to you. Forbes magazine again told us in a survey that we see between 4,000 and 10,000 ads a day. They're popping up on our phone or social media. You're watching it. You're listening to them Pandora, unless you have it or whatever you have. If you're not paying for it, you're getting ads, right? 4,000 to 10,000 ads today. And what do they all tell you? Buy this so you can be happy. And you're not happy unless you buy our thing. And I've talked about this before. Who makes it happy? Who makes the happiest when we buy their thing? They do. They get to be happiest because we bought their thing. Now they have our money. They can go buy what they want to go buy, right? But it's all about that. The world tells us if you buy more, if you own more and have more, you'll be happy. And the scripture says it all belongs to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 tells us about who we are. It says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. That's what we are, is managing. God said, here's what you need to do what I want you to do. It's not everything you want. It's what you need to accomplish my will. If you don't have it, ask for it and I'll provide it for you. But this is what you need to accomplish my will. You manage it. And then all we have to be is faithful. Mother Teresa met a U.S. senator one time. He talked about success. Do you not feel successful in what you're doing? She says, I'm not called to success. I'm called to be faithful. I'm just called to be faithful with what God wants me to have. Faithful means two things, right? It means I can be trusted with something. I'm faithful. I show up. But it's another way of looking. If you deconstruct the word, faithful means full of faith. Full of faith. If I don't have it, God will provide it if I need it. That's what it means to be a faithful servant. If I don't have it, God will provide it if I need it. And that's what a life of faith looks like. Saying, God, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. I'm just here to manage it. And that's the first truth we have to know. The second truth we have to know is this. Not only does everything belong to God, is that God is generous. Number two, God is generous. He's a generous God. He enjoys giving to us so that we can have what we need. He enjoys doing that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul is writing to Timothy. He says this, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. He gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Do you know God wants us to enjoy what he's given to us? Whether it's on the earth and we just enjoy his nature, or something that we have that we can spend on, he wants us to have it because he's generous. And he wants us to enjoy it. He says, don't trust in stuff. When you trust in something, that becomes your God. It's a great definition for who God is or what God is, right? It's where you put your trust. You put your trust in money and things, or do we put our trust in a person who is God? He says, don't trust money because it's unreliable. Think about some of the richest people in the world right now. The oligarchs, right? You know who the oligarchs are. The guys in Russia. An oligarch is like a rich, rich person who has influenced the government. All their stuff has been frozen. All their stuff's been frozen. They counted on their money. All their resources that are in the West are now gone. And they showed on the news, and maybe you saw this, where their $100 million yachts have been taken away. And they had trusted in their money and stuff, and I don't know what's going to happen to them, and they don't either. If they're followers of Jesus, and I don't know yes or no on that, it's only between them and God. If they're followers of Jesus, they're going, okay, I still trust God. If they don't, they go, that's where I put my trust. I wonder what's going to happen, because it's all gone now. All that stuff I was working for, all the things I sacrificed, it's gone, and that's what happens. But God gives us stuff so that we can enjoy it, because he is a generous God, and he wants us to have things. It says at the beginning, teach those who are rich in this world. And you might be in the room going, I'm not rich. And it's easy to think that if we don't look at other countries. Saw this study the other day that said if you make or have access to 25,000, like you either have access to it or you have resources that are worth that, $25,000, not a ton of money, you are richer than 90% of the world. And if you have $50,000, either in salary or access to it, or you have resources that equal that, you're richer than 98% of the world. That's pretty much probably most people in the room. I don't know if you knew this or not. Forsyth County, the average income, about $43,000, $44,000. So most people in the county are in that 90% to 98%. And that's just in our region. That's the greater Winston-Salem area. And we have all kinds of resources that we have access to. And God says, I've given that to you for your enjoyment. You're blessed to be a blessing because God is generous. In our family, we have a lot of Uncle Joe stories. I've told some of them here. Uncle Joe was my father's sister's husband. Follow that. So father's sister's husband. Uncle Joe and Aunt Mary Lou lived in Des Moines, Iowa. It's cold in Des Moines, Iowa. And so every year, they would go out to San Diego for a month. And when we were in California, we used to go see them every month. And my Uncle Joe is one of the most generous people I ever know. And he was this tricky guy. What he would do, we'd go to a restaurant. And like he would say, I'm going to pay Uncle Joe. And he says, okay. And then he would go to the host and he would just whisper to him. And he would be like, make sure I get the bill. And we wouldn't know it, right? So there would be no bill. So you're waiting for the bill to come so you can pay for the meal. And there no bill would show up. And so we kind of got used to his trick. So then he would change it. And then he would go, I got to go to the bathroom. And he wouldn't go to the bathroom. He'd go pay the bill, right? And so he'd come back. Where's the bill? And Uncle Joe had already paid for it. He loved to pay for things. He just enjoyed it. I remember one time, Stacy and I went to go visit them, and we went down to the IMAX theater in San Diego, and you had to park away, and there's this big open area leading up to the box office, right? So I'm going to pay this time. I'm going to get Uncle Joe. He's always tricked me, and he's 30 years older than me. I can outwalk him. I'm going to get there first. But Uncle Joe is an incredible walker. So even though he was older than me, we started walking together, and we started walking fast, and pretty soon Aunt Mary Lou and Stacy are way behind. And we're walking as fast as you can, and you can't run, right? Because that's cheating. So we're going as fast as we can get to the box office. And here's his Uncle Joe. He's like, again, he's 30 years older. He's in his 60s or 70s at different points, but at this time probably upper 60s. And he's beating me, right, to the box office. And I wasn't trying to let him win. So I just kind of had to elbow him out of the way and go around somebody. And I got there, and I said, I won, right? I won. I finally beat Uncle Joe. And then he paid for dinner. I mean, Uncle Joe just had a way of figuring this stuff out. He just loved to be generous. He just loved it. It gave him joy. And I think about our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father loves to go before us, and he says, I've already done this for you. I've heard a couple of stories already about people who are facing some difficulty, and they've been praying, you know, financially, and God has shown up in their life. And I think when that happens, God's just saying, look at me, I'm here, and I care, and I just want you to know that. It's not about finances again, it's about seeing God at work and seeing the heart of God in everything he does. So God owns everything. God is generous. And number three, we need to know this, is that God takes care of his people. God takes care of his people. And he loves to do that. Philippians 4:19 says this, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. If we had paper, when we were doing things with paper, I'd have you circle the word all. All your needs, not all your wants, but all your needs. And God is a God who takes care of our needs. And that's one of the ways we get to see him and get to know him better and better, is that he takes care of us. Now, again, it's sometimes hard to see what we want compared to what we need. In the Bible, there's lots of stories about Jesus taking care of people's needs. He would go from town to town. He would heal people. He would cast out demons. He would give people what they needed, not necessarily what they wanted. In John chapter 4, there was a woman who had a rough life. She made some bad choices, and she wants to go get water because she needs water. She's thirsty. And because of her life choices, she has to go at noon because everybody around her knows her story, and they all go in the morning. She has to go when there's no one there. She can't see anybody. So she goes at noon, and she finds Jesus, and she finds that he gives her water for her soul. And she finds acceptance. She thought she needed water for her body, right? I'm thirsty. But she never realized that what she was thirsting for was acceptance. She was trying to find God's love in anything else but God. And when she found Jesus, she found what she really needed was God in her life, to know the Messiah. And Jesus met her need. In Matthew 17, interesting story, Jesus and Peter are talking, and these guys come up and said, have you paid your taxes? Now, I know everybody in the room, you love to pay taxes, right? April 15th is the next holiday on your schedule, right? You're just excited about the chance to pay taxes, and when you go buy something and they add on that extra 7% or whatever, you're just like, that is so great. Can I pay more, please? I mean, that's the kind of people we are, right? We love to pay taxes. Nobody loves to pay taxes. Jesus and Peter are standing there, and they go, you need to pay the temple tax. And I don't know about Peter. I don't know if he had pockets in their outfits. We don't really know. But I can see Peter going, empty. My pockets are empty. I got no money. Jesus didn't have any money. So Jesus said to Peter, you love to go fishing, right? You love to go fishing. Go cast a line out. You're going to catch a fish, and you're going to find the temple tax, the teaching tax, in the fish's mouth. Go catch it and bring it back and pay your taxes. I think it's a great story, isn't it? You're all going to go fishing on April the 14th, right? There's got to be money out there. Got to be money. But here's the deal. Peter thought he needed money. He didn't need money. He needed a fish story. He needed a fish story. That he could go back and tell people, you know what Jesus did? It's impossible what he did. But this is what he did, and that's how God works. I thought I needed this certain amount. I was going to have to earn it or borrow it, but he did something that was totally off my scale. And now I have a fish story. That's how he works. And you know that because in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John now are walking through this village, and there's a man there who's been unable to walk since the time he was born. He's laying out by this beautiful gate, and he's asking people for money. And he goes to Peter and John and says, can you give me some money? And I think Peter probably did the thing, pulled his pockets out again and go, I don't have any money. I think he lived his whole life without money, right? I don't have any money. But look at me. One thing I can do is in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, right? He thought he needed money. The guy was laying there his whole life. He's going, I need money, I need money, I need money. And Peter says, you don't need money, you need to be able to walk. And it's the same thing with us. We think, I need this, I need this. And God's saying, you don't really need that. You need something else. And I can give it to you. The only miracle that's in all four of the Gospels is the miracle of feeding the 5,000, right? People are out there listening to Jesus teach. They're out in the wilderness. Nobody brought any food. None of them were thinking of food except for one little boy. And he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the disciples are running around, we need money. We got to go buy this food. We got to buy these people food. Send them home or give us money so we can feed them. It's just all this stuff. And Jesus said, what do you got? And he goes, well, we got this stuff from this little boy. We'll bring it here. And he broke it, right, and prayed over it. And it multiplied, and there was leftovers. And everybody walked away going, that's God. We got to see God. And with the financial things that we're going to deal with, we look at his money and finance, and people don't like to talk about that, but let's look at it a different way. Let's look at an opportunity to see God at work. That's what it's about. He loves to work in those situations. All of us are on some kind of a journey, financially and spiritually, emotionally, and we're all on a quest, right? We're all trying to get somewhere together. One of the things we want to do in this series is give you an opportunity to experience what God's doing. We did something in Thanksgiving time that we were real excited about. We're going to do something similar leading up to before Easter. We're going to ask you on April the 3rd, okay, we're going to do something called Family for Families, and it's a food bag. Here in our community, there's a lot of people that need food. And so on April the 3rd, we're going to ask you to bring back a bag full of food. There's a bags in the lobby, and there's a list of things, and we're partnering with Trinity Church, who meets here at 4:30. They rent from us, and we're partnering with New Church, which is just down the street. They moved in, and we're partnering with Frontiers Church, which is on Shadow Lawn. It's a Hispanic church, and we partner with these guys and say, how can we take what God has blessed us with and bless our community? And just say, this is the God that we know. He's a generous God, and he's a loving God. And we're just going to set it up. They're going to get the word out to our community. We're going to start that this Saturday with putting out flyers on the door that simply say, hey, if you know of anybody that could use food, have them come. All right? That's what the flyer is going to say. It's not inviting them to church. It's not trying to do something behind their back. It's simply saying, we need connections. And the school district's going to send out an email saying, hey, in this school area, in this area, if anybody needs food, we're going to be at Old Town Elementary on April the 9th. Have them come and see who God is. So we're just going to ask you to do that. If you'll consider that, you can get a bag on the way out, get a list. We'll have them out there in the next few weeks. And we're going to try to do 250 families. all right, between the four churches, and just say, this is what God is about. He's a generous, loving God. The other thing we want to do on April the 3rd is we want to say, hey, would you consider a faith offering? Just to say, God, we're going to give above and beyond on that day as a step of faith. And the reason we're asking you to do that, we're going to do something new this year. The building that we have here, we did a capital campaign to get in here. And our plan was to do capital campaigns for the next few years to help pay for it. And we said this year we're not going to do that. Rather than doing capital campaigns, we're going to move it into the budget. And that's a big step of faith. And we're saying, God, just show us how you want to do it. We're not going to tell him how. We're just going to say, God, we're going to do that. And just say, God, work. And so on April 3rd, if you'll consider that, and that's up to everybody, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later, but we're just saying this is the quest we're on because we want to see God at work. In every quest story, there's four things that happen, and we want this to happen in our church. Here's what happens on every quest story. One, we go places we've never been before, and we're praying that God takes us to places spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, that we've never been before, to see him do something amazing. Number two, they encounter challenges they've never faced before. We expect that. I used to think you would get done with challenges. Now I know you don't get done with challenges until you go home to be with God in heaven, right? Constantly we're faced with things that we need faith for. Number three, they discover abilities they've never used before. They discover people with abilities they've never seen before as well. So I think God's going to call us to new things over the next few weeks about how we can see him at work. And number four, they become someone they never were before, which I think is the most important. Because at the end of every quest, everyone changes, right? They become someone new, someone different. Dorothy grew up on her quest, right? When she finally went home, she realized there was no place like home the whole time. And she was able to go home and enjoy what she had. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I don't know where you are with any of this. I don't know where you are spiritually. I know some of your stories. But I do know that God calls us constantly to say to him, I trust you, and I want to see you at work in my life. And that's the number one thing we want to see for everyone, to see God at work in their life. I want to close with a verse, 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. And it says this, yet godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. What does financial freedom look like? It looks like contentment. I'm okay. I'm not worried. I'm not fretting. I'm not thinking about it all the time. I'm just good with God. It's not that you have all the money in the world, because no matter how much money you have, there's always probably one more worry. It's simply saying, God, I'm good. I'm content. You're going to take care of me. You have a plan, and I'm going to see you. So that's our prayer today, is that everyone here in the room is just content with what God is doing and at peace and trusting him to take care of us. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the way that you work in the world. I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you for the resources you've given us. I thank you for the way you've always taken care of us as individuals and as a church family. And Father God, I just pray for each person here to find contentment, that sense of peace, that everything's okay, that you have us by the hand, and you'll provide what we need when we need it. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to let it occupy our thoughts. We just simply have to rest in Jesus, who has all power and all riches to take care of everything we need. So for anyone that's here today, Father, that's a concern for them, or they're not sure, or they know someone who is going through something similar, I just pray for their lives to experience you in new ways. At the end of this, we'll have some sort of story to share about what you did. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.